For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Very smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called AutoQuote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies, so you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Malachi Corley, it turns out, makes a rookie mistake. He dropped the ball before he broke the plane of the end zone.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Into the end zone for Garrett Wilson.
Oh, one-handed catch! Incredible! Aaron Rodgers hooks up with his old buddy, Devontae Adams!
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Buccaneers quarterback Baker Mayfield, 5-time Grammy Award winner Michael Bublé. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live in Los Angeles, California, where there is a World Series parade going down today with the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll keep an eye on all of that for you over the next 3 hours right here live on the Roku Sports Channel with this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us. Sirius XM, Odyssey, TuneIn, and more. We say hello to our podcast listeners. There's 4 extra podcasts in addition to all 3 hours of our show every single day that should be in your ear gate. There's Overreaction Monday on a Monday and What the Football on a Tuesday. No Contest Wrestling on a Wednesday. The latest Jim Jackson show was recorded yesterday before he started calling some Clipper action that actually got TJ Jefferson out of his house into the Intuit Dome last night. We'll talk about that
insane
over the next 3 hours of this program with you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. The law firm of Mayfield, Bublé, and Pelissero on today's program. Tom is first up in less than 20 minutes time to tell us about Lamar Jackson, who's back at practice. Puka Nacua, who left practice with apparently a knee injury to the same knee that kept him on injured reserve for much of the first half of the season. And then, you know, obviously I mentioned Baker Mayfield. He's playing Monday Night Football against an old Big 12 friend of his and Patrick Mahomes. Every time they face each other, we bring up that. Remember that time you guys scored 19,000 points against each
other? Patrick Mahomes had 700 yards passing in that game.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I know that. I'm just saying that. But yes, it's quite a game. And on Monday night to wrap up week number 9 that kicked off last night, perhaps while you were all trick-or-treating in your neighborhoods. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Rich, great. What's up, man?
Good to see the man who had the cowbell in his hands now just back as Jason Feller. Good to see you, Jay Feller.
I'm excited not to have exposed midriff today.
That's good.
Me too.
Much better. I think that speaks for everybody here
to
in
look
the studio.
At that.
The peripheral vision was a rough one for Chris yesterday. TJ, aforementioned TJ, good to see you, sir.
What's up, Rich? How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. All right, so let's get to the Thursday night football game.
Are you back? Are you back in?
I don't know what you mean. I rediscovered football last night too.
Pull them out.
Wow. No. Listen, Thursday night football. I don't know what it is with the Jets taking on the Texans. Last year they whooped up on them, 30-3. And this year the Jets hadn't won since the week 3 Thursday night football. And again, just to refresh everybody's memory, last night was week 9 Thursday night football.
Right.
That was the last time they won, was week 3 against the New England Patriots. And all Jet fans were going gaga because they're 2-1 after 3 weeks. And last time the Jets were 2-1 after 3 weeks was 2015. And then they went back to the Stone Age. And they didn't win a single damn football game until last night. And at halftime, it sure looked like they weren't going to win this football game. Because I remember, again, in London when we pre-broadcast of the Jets and Vikings, what turned out to be the second loss in a row for the Jets in what turned out to be a five-game losing streak. We were just kind of kicking the tires on where's Malachi Corley, the rookie receiver that the Jets chose in the third round and everybody was very high on, and look out for this guy, and he didn't do a damn thing, and he was, you know, healthy scratching and all that sort of business. And the general sense you got is that he wasn't ready yet. He was a little too raw. And last night kind of showed it. On an end around, he runs to the end zone, and the Jets go up 7-0, and whoop, he let go of the football before he got in the end zone.
Why did guys do this?
Which is like a college move. You see that in college, right? Yeah. Or DeSean Jackson, right, way back in his early days, fresh out of Cal.
Yeah.
And so Halloween night, a treat for the Jets becomes a trick on the spot, and we're still scoreless. And that's the way things were looking. Because the Texans didn't come out looking very, very good themselves. The Jets defense showed up last night, and we'll talk about that a little bit when we talk about the Texans in short order. But I don't know what happened at halftime. I don't know what the interim head coach, Jeff Ulbrich, told this team, or what Todd Downing was chatting with Aaron Rodgers, or whatever happened. But there were some Wheaties being served, figurative Wheaties being served, and the Jets' first three possessions of the half, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Actually, the four Jets' second half possessions were touchdown, 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 victory formation. That was it. The Jets' offense held on to the ball. They put drives together. And then Aaron Rodgers threw three touchdown passes. And one of them, quite literally and figuratively, leaps out at you. And Davante Adams is the one that puts it in the end zone to seal it. As 8 and 17 turned back the clock just when the Jets needed it. By instead of settling for a field goal and allowing the Texans to potentially put together a game-tying drive, Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams called ball game on a touchdown grab that looked like it was Lambeau Field, quite frankly. And Aaron Rodgers coming into the halftime locker room with 69 total yards.
Nice.
Left the game with now 69 career touchdown connections with Davante Adams.
Even nicer.
There you have it. 224 yards in the second half total for the Jets. Aaron Rodgers in the second half of last night's game, 179 yards passing, just 32 in the first half. Which, by the way, was the fewest in the first half and tied for the fewest in any half in his career. So just when it looked very dark, things dawned, and Garrett Wilson to the rescue. Now, again, I like retelling stories here. I don't know if you're aware of that. But I don't know if there's ever a new audience. And things that I keep mentioning are remarkably relevant, I'd like to say. In this regard, in London, when I sat down with Aaron Rodgers and the rest of the crew before the Vikings and the Jets, we were talking about the wide receiver room. And we were talking about how things weren't all on the same page and how Rodgers last year, it would have been much better to have had all of the kinks worked out last year in a very distant way, similar to what's talked about with Anthony Richardson right now. Injury cut short. All of the let's get your feet wet, let's get working through all the kinks so year two you can hit the ground running type of reps. And last year didn't have it. And how some of the guys in the receiver room needed to know about getting open at the right time and needed to know about running your routes at the right spot and needed to know about being patient or when to push it or where he's going to throw it. If he needs to throw it in a certain spot at a certain time, he's going to throw the guy open. He's going to throw the guy back shoulder. That these things need to be worked out. And that's when I asked if 17 could help, referring to Davante Adams. And at the time, Malachi Corley was wearing 17, and Rogers says, "You mean Malachi Corley?" "No, I mean Davante Adams." And how Adams could potentially not only be the voice in the room to tell this is where you should be, that's where you should be, stay confident, keep your chin up. Another guy in that room who's going to the Hall of Fame at the position of some of those guys in the wide receiver room, that would be helpful. And it was apparent that that was part of the reason why Rodgers is pushing for 17. Also, you know, when the game's on the line, you just say, this is what we're going to do on third down. You just get open at the line of scrimmage. I'll throw it to you. You just run in the end zone untouched, a flag football touchdown to put the game out of reach. That's one thing. But Garrett Wilson also being a guy who can make plays if given the opportunity and maybe more opportunities with Davante Adams being there. And I don't know, man, because he is on a nice little heater, Garrett Wilson, and I understand the Jets haven't won in a while, but he's got 90 receiving yards or more in four of his last five. And last night, a receiving touchdown on a opening drive of the second half where the Jets had to get something positive. His fans were starting to chant, "Sell the team," in the first half of that game. And then a touchdown that if the Jets can actually start putting wins together, if the Jets can actually start stringing them together, we will be talking about this catch as the moment. Because it's being mentioned in the same vein as Odell Beckham Jr.'s one-handed grab on a Monday night, I think. Or is this, no, it was a Sunday night against his Cowboys, the famed one-handed grab.
Yeah.
Because
in a loss.
In a game they lost.
Third and 19. Right. Third and 19. After a holding penalty, knocks him back, and maybe the Jets are going to have to settle for a field goal here to tie the game that the Texans are just taking the lead in. Rodgers throws it to the end zone, and Wilson reaches up with his right hand, brings it in, and turns around, and as he's going down to the ground, it sure looked like his shin was down, ruled incomplete after further review, touchdown. OMG. Rick Dalton Schiff, right there. That's why they drafted him. That's why he was the offensive rookie of the year 2 years ago.
Man, look at that picture.
That's why you draft him. That's how special he is.
You know what that looks like, right?
Of course. We actually have the side-by-side. It does, in fact, look like the Jumpman. If you reverse the Jordan Jumpman logo, as a matter of fact, it looks exactly the same.
It's crazy.
Just one ball is oblong and another one is round.
His arm.
One guy is going backwards as he's jumping. The other guy is obviously going forwards to jam it. And you know, sorry, Adidas.
I know.
That's the last
it's
thing.
Too bad he's an Adidas guy.
He's an Adidas guy. It's the last thing Adidas wants there.
I know.
But their guy to be a bringing to mind.
He's wearing a Nike jersey though. So I mean, yeah. What are they going to do?
Sick.
Am I weird? Like as incredible as that was, I've watched this about 20 times. I'm still not sure he was in.
But listen, he didn't get both feet in. But if a shin is like a wrist, it's like a knee. It's like 2 feet.
Yep.
And he did get the shin in. He got the shin down
before the knee hit, though.
Yes, I've watched it over and over and over again. And as a matter of fact, Jeff Ulbrich was telling the officials, "Doesn't matter if you see it TJ's way," based on the actual physical feet.
You mean most of America's way?
I mean, I was talking to the ref when they were reviewing it. I'm like, just for the sake of posterity, you have to say that's in, just so it goes down in history. It would rival the Odell catch. You know, it was amazing.
And Ulbrich has just, you know, got to be bouncing off the walls because the Jets came up with a win. And you heard Albert Breer on Wednesday saying everybody's on pins and needles in that building and so on and so forth. And it's not a fun place to work. Ulbrich was talking about how the team was hearing externally how the criticism, and it was warranted from even this spot over here. Five losses in a row with a team as talented as the one that they have is just not, as they would say, acceptable. But the defense came up with 8 sacks. Garrett Wilson comes up with 2 touchdowns. Davante Adams comes up with 1 touchdown. The offense that Aaron Rodgers said should score 30 every night scores 21 in the second half, and could have had 28 if their receiver actually didn't just mistakenly fumble, pardon me, before he went in the end zone. They would have done it. And Rodgers presented Ulbrich with a game ball afterwards.
I got to have a nice moment with him. Jeff's been really steady, and it's been a few weeks in the making, but I told him after that Tate touchdown, that was for you, buddy, because we love him, care about him. We appreciate the energy he brings to it, his approach, just the kind of man he is, and good to get that first one.
So, a team that I was talking about in one of their many nationally televised games during their losing streak against the Bills. I said the Bills looked like a sum of their parts, and the Jets looked like a team full of parts looking for a sum or something. Came up with their best team performance last night and are bonding together as a team. Again, the defense was all over C.J. Stroud. They couldn't stop Joe Mixon, but they stopped everything else while the Texans come in all banged up at wide receiver. And then Rodgers and the offense gelled together in a half that ended the losing streak. They played a team game and are bonding together as a team around their interim head coach. The only question is, what next for a team that's never made the playoffs after starting 3-6 as they now are? And next up for the Jets is a visit to Arizona. And then another nationally televised game that is let's make sure I get this correct, that is the Jets against the Colts on Sunday night on NBC against Joe Flacco, former Jet quarterback Joe Flacco. Then a bye, and then some winnable games, one would think, because Miami's trying to dig out of that hole this weekend in Western New York. Can they pull it off? They kind of have to make a run. If you lose one game to get yourself to 7 losses, you're really playing with fire. If you lose 2 of them, I don't think you make it. But the bottom line is, you're saying there's still a chance. They're still alive. They've taken 6 shots, and they're still alive. Last night could have been a night where it ended, but it didn't, and they're feeling good about themselves.
They pull me back in.
And yes, Garrett Wilson, just put that photograph up one more time, because it's catch of the year, right? I mean, give me another one. Give me another one for a touchdown for a team that needed it to put them up in the lead, to get the crowd off the hook.
Yep.
I mean, you just see him up in the air, grabbing the football.
Amazing.
Just an unbelievable catch out of him. And side by side with Odell, there it is. Unreal. Yeah. I mean, just when the Jets needed it.
The reverence that these players, this generation of receivers, had for Odell was amazing, because after the game, they was asking Garrett about comparing the two, and he basically was just like, no, Odell is that boy. Like, that is the catch. He wouldn't even think about putting his in the same category as
Odell. He said he was being humble about it.
Well, he needs to be unhumble and recognize what he did last night.
So we'll talk about the Texans later on and my 2 cents on their end of that Thursday night, Week 9 opening loss. They're now 6-3 still, in front. Flacco can get the Colts one step closer. I've got my top 5 list of the most intriguing games left on the Week 9 docket. We also have a What's More Likely Friday. The 5-time Grammy Award winner and one of the stars of The Voice on NBC is going to be joining us in studio in hour number 3, also in support of his greatest hits album, The Best of Bublé.
And Michael Bublé will be here. We were in a fantasy league with him for a couple of years before we complained about the rules and Fabiano kicked us out.
I wouldn't say we complained about the rules.
Oh, I complained about the rules.
You guys never got asked back?
Or did...
We did not get asked back. It wasn't like a full-on like, hey, you're out. It was just like...
Or did Jerry Cantrell kick us out? I haven't spoken to Jerry in a while. I got to ask him.
So that
did
might
you
be
kick us
it.
Out?
It was his league, right?
Yes, but it's Fabiano. Hey,
Fabiano was running it.
All right, so
we weren't asked back.
Yada yada yada. Baker Mayfield in hour number two. But let's take a break and get some information on a lot of injured players and whether they're going to play this weekend or not. Tom Pelissero, when we come back here on a Friday edition. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. Hey, everybody, let's talk about Game Time tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats, so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas, so you need to see the view from your seat. You also need the all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. So you mentioned this soundbite moments ago. TJ Jefferson and our crack staff has found it. This was
it's our guys.
This is what Garrett Wilson had to say about being equated to the Odell catch.
Man, Odell's, it was different. And he got 2 feet down. The ball was finna land out of bounds. And it was Odell, man. It was Odell against the Cowboys. Like, that was the one. So, for it to even come up in that convo, you know, I'm blessed. I'm honored. But, yeah, man, Odell got the... That's that boy.
But Garrett, given, lost that game.
You know what? All right. Fair enough.
Nice. Fair enough. Same end zone, too. Different corners. And 2 feet down on one shin down on another. Both teams from the state of Texas. Under the lights in MetLife. Right? One is actually a Nike guy.
Generationally talented receivers.
No doubt.
Pretty sick, man.
Right?
I love it. Just the athleticism, the ballet, yes, elements of it. It's just what these guys can do now.
It really is awesome.
Really,
I know.
It's really amazing.
And unbeknownst to them, one of them won my fantasy night in the league I really wanted to win.
Oh.
And the other one didn't affect it in any way, shape, or form.
I'm playing against Garrett Wilson in the Dillingham League.
Are you really?
Yeah, James has him. Brutal.
Yeah, it's because...
30 spot.
Yeah.
Last night.
He had an... He's turned it on, and I would love to talk with him about what Davante Adams has, you know, started whispering in his ear. And if Adams can start making plays, Alan Lazard did just go on injured reserve, so I don't know if Mike Williams is going to go anywhere right now. So there's that. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by, as Tom Pelissero from NFL Network, NFL Media Group, does in his usual Friday spot. Good to see you, Tom.
Good to see you, Rich. Great night last night for the Jets. Second half looked like what we've been waiting like a year and a half to see from Aaron Rodgers in that offense.
But I did just spend much of my beginning of this show on the Jets, and I'm going to give my thoughts on the Texans in short order. What do the Texans do with this offensive line that cannot protect C.J. Stroud with any regularity, certainly when they're on the road against teams that are just pressuring their second-year quarterback? Can they trade for anybody? What do you think they're thinking about right now with the deadline coming up on Tuesday and maybe needing a receiver as well, Tom?
I would anticipate they're looking at all options. You know, the fact that Laremy Tunsil's been banged up probably hasn't helped him either. But then just the revolving door, those interior injuries, like that stuff adds up. I'm sure there's some things that they can try to adjust schematically here. But you're down to the final, 4 days to the trade deadline. If you're going to add, now would be the time. And there are offensive linemen that are still available. We saw one get traded a few days ago with Cam Robinson ending up in Minnesota. In terms of the receiver, I mean, I know that the Texans have at least been involved in talks on potential receiver additions. You know, you watched the game last night. Tank Dell, you know, we kind of forget. Tank Dell was the number two receiver on that team last year and was really, really productive when he was healthy. They are going to get Nico Collins back in the not-too-distant future, potentially as soon as next week, which is going to help a lot as well. But you probably need something extra. And so it's entirely possible that they're looking at both those spots to add.
And so, you know, you take a look across this week nine landscape. Let's move to Lions Packers. Jordan Love going to play in this game, in your estimation, Tom?
Certainly seems to be trending in that direction. I know that, I mean, there was optimism, like I reported on Sunday, right after the injury, despite, you know, Matt LaFleur being asked, how concerned are you? He says, very concerned. It's like the definition of a leading question. But they really thought that they had dodged a bullet with that one. He had the MRI that confirmed it. So, you know, it's painful. You know, he's got a groin injury, and those can take a little bit of time here. He may not be moving quite like 100% Jordan Love, but the fact that they have the bye the fall following week, if he can go out there and find a way to function. You see the videos out of practice, and even though we don't want to read too much into those, Rich, like I remember early in the season when Jordan Love in like week three was getting out on the field, and you could tell he was kind of going through the motions, knew he wasn't right. In this case, you know, he's working on his handshakes with everybody else. Certainly seems like with treatment, with the things that they're doing, it's trending toward him being up on Sunday. Knowing the Packers, knowing Matt LaFleur, they'll probably list him as questionable, and we'll find out right around the time they'd have to elevate a quarterback whether he's going to go, but signs are good.
Lamar Jackson back on the practice field today after missing the last two. What ails him?
We've seen this so many times, Rich. Usually it's an illness that takes Lamar out for chunks of the practice week. I would fairly bet you that if you went back and you looked at quarterbacks who missed the most Wednesday and Thursday practices without missing a game on Sunday, Lamar has to lead the league in recent years here. So he's got back and knee soreness. It's something that they've been doing maintenance on. He was back at practice today. Again, knowing the Ravens, they'll probably list him as questionable for the game, but certainly the fact that he's back on the field on Friday, he's not, you know, dragging out there from the videos I've seen. I would say that one's also trending toward him being available.
And then prior to kickoff of Thursday Night Football, one of those collective oh no moments, because he's such a good kid and everyone yeah. roots for him out here in Thousand Oaks, California. Word from Rams practice is that Puka Nacua suffered something to the same knee that knocked him out over the last few weeks. What's going on with him, Tom?
Well, Rich, I want to take you behind the scenes for a second here on the game day kickoff show last night. And of course, it's Halloween. Rappaport and I are juggling, trying to get out with our kids and you know, get around the neighborhood a little bit with also needing to do several news hits on the show. We come up with the brilliant idea for the last hit. Hey, let's wear our costumes underneath our suits. So Ian's dressed as the Kool-Aid man. I'm wearing a bear suit. We're sitting there about 15 minutes before the hit, and all of a sudden the word comes from the Rams that Puka Nacua has left practice with a knee injury. And I literally texted Ian, I go, We might have to take off the bear suits because we have to report Puka Nacua has suffered a major injury here. This might not be appropriate. But we got word shortly thereafter that this was not a major injury. We'll see what it means, you know, for his availability Sunday. Obviously pushing through, coming back from the PCL injury and being out there on really one day's work last week and playing really well for the Rams. You always worry when a guy comes back and hasn't had a lot of practice time. Does that make you more susceptible for another more major injury? Does not sound like that's the case for Puka Nacua. So a sigh of relief, but still remains to be seen whether he's going to be out there this week.
What's the scoop with T. Higgins here? Is this an injury, or is this a situation where the Bengals are 3-5 and might actually flip this guy somewhere? Could he possibly be a big time, bold face, wide receiver name that can be gotten in the market next week? For 3-5,
I wouldn't rule out much of anything in terms of the trade market, Rich, but I'd say two things on T. Higgins. One, the Bengals almost never trade anybody. The only trade I can remember in the past couple of decades that they made around the deadline was trading Carlos Dunlap to the Seahawks, and that was amidst the season where, you know, they weren't really going anywhere. I know what the record is right now. I was at that game last week against the Eagles. It was tied at 17 late in the third quarter, and then the Eagles had a big play to Devontae Smith, and, you know, an interception gets tipped away from Ja'Marr Chase, and all of a sudden it looks like a, you know, an ugly game. But with T. Higgins, this is not him holding in. This is not a we're going to shelve him because we're going to trade him. He's got a legitimate injury. It happened in practice last Friday. I was told he was running a route on air, meaning not in a team drill. He's just, it's warmups, it's individuals, and he pulls his quad. And, you know, I from what I understand, he was really upset about the fact that he was not going to be able to go. He's going into, in all likelihood, unfettered free agency. You don't want to have multiple soft tissue injuries slowing you down. Because remember, this happened to him back in week one, too. It was on like a Thursday or Friday. We went through the same cycle of, oh, is he holding himself out? You know, what's going on here? No, it was he suffered a legit injury. I have no doubt that T. Higgins is going to get paid, but it is going to give some teams pause when you're talking about a guy who multiple times within a season is suffering a soft tissue injury during the practice week and forcing coaches to kind of blow up the game plan. You know, that happens on a Friday. That's not easy for Zach Taylor and Dan Pitcher and those guys. Last week, they went to more 12 personnel, and Mike Gesicki had a big day. But, you know, T. Higgins, along with Ja'Marr Chase, like, that's what makes this Bengals offense go, especially now that Joe Mixon is not there anymore. T. Higgins has not been out there this entire week, so it doesn't seem like he's going to play in this week's game. Again, I wouldn't rule anything out in the trade market, but history would tell you, especially with the Bengals still alive in the playoff picture, probably unlikely that he's moving on.
And then earlier this week, Mike McDonald of Seattle said he felt optimistic that DK Metcalf could come back after just a one-week absence with a knee injury that knocked him out a couple of weeks ago mid-game, but he didn't practice yesterday. What's your thought? I mean, this is a big game between Seattle and the Rams this weekend, Tom.
I mean, it's going to feel like whichever team wins that game has a good shot at being the team that takes down the 49ers. The team that loses, you know, is going to, I'm not going to say they're going to, you know, sell off, but certainly they're not going to feel as confident, you know, as we roll up toward the trade deadline here. You know, with DK Metcalf, it's a grade one MCL. Those are usually a week or two. So he's right on the border. It would not be the first time that a Seahawks player didn't practice Wednesday, Thursday, got some work on Friday and played in the game. I'm sure DK Metcalf would like to be out there, but, you know, they're always a late practice team. They practice late out on the West Coast here. Again, I would think that this is probably a situation where he's going to be listed as questionable, and this might not be clear until we get closer to kickoff.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show in his usual Friday spot. Your reporting behind the benching of Anthony Richardson is what, sir?
This is a difficult one because, you know, when you draft a guy like Anthony Richardson, who's the rare quarterback that you're really drafting off traits, he's got 13 college starts. He didn't even play that much in high school. You're thinking, we got to play the guy. He needs to play football. Only plays four games last season, then six this season. So 10 starts into his NFL career, he gets benched. Here's my understanding, really, of the conversations. I know that Shane Steichen and Chris Ballard met on Monday night. Obviously, there was discussion among the coaches as well. They informed the quarterbacks of the decision on Tuesday morning. They just felt like two things. One, Joe Flacco at this point, based on what he brings to the table, especially going to play a challenging game on Sunday in Minnesota against a Brian Flores defense that you know is going to throw a ton of different stuff at you, Joe Flacco right now gives you the best chance to win. The second part of it is Anthony Richardson needs a breath, whether that is physically, mentally, emotionally. We all saw the highly unusual tap out last week when he felt like he needed a break. And frankly, there might have been some naivete on his part. There's other quarterbacks who need a blow every now and then, and they'll just stay down and let the officials blow the whistle and then come off the field and come back in a snap later. He taps his helmet. A lot was read into that. Certainly teammates, you know, had thoughts on that situation, but it was not a direct corollary. It may, though, have been symptomatic of how Anthony Richardson was feeling. You know, he's a confident guy. He's a rare physical specimen, but he hasn't been seeing that much success. He hits the one deep ball last week. There were a bunch of drops in that game. There was a pass interference call on Alec Pierce that was pretty borderline. But still, you know, you start 2 for 12 or whatever it was, it's still 2 for 12. It doesn't look good. You hear some of the boos. You hear the chatter in the media here. It just felt like this was a time where Anthony Richardson might benefit from not being on the field. And I know that the dynamics are different than they were in Carolina, where, you know, by putting Andy Dalton in, you're not thinking, hey, we got a chance to make the playoffs here. But, you know, they're trying to find a way to win a game here. But also it was, you were about to go to Las Vegas, the Panthers were back in week three, and face a Patrick Graham defense that's going to do a lot of stuff in a hostile environment. You're just thinking, you know what, this is not going to benefit him to play in this game. Shane Steichen, you know, was obviously vague in terms of what the future might hold for Anthony Richardson. It's totally possible that Joe Flacco plays out the rest of this season, and then come 2025, whether it's Flacco or somebody else, there's a veteran on the roster. Anthony Richardson is still on the roster, and they compete to see who's starting. But right now, you know, this Colts team, Rich, you know, for all the pressure that can be placed on coaches and on front offices this time of year, you look at their team, they've got talent. Their receiver group's pretty good. When they got Josh Downs and Alec Pierce out there, Michael Pittman's gotten the ball a lot more when Flacco's been playing than Anthony Richardson. They've got good receivers. They obviously, when Jonathan Taylor's healthy, he's still one of the top backs in the league. They've invested a lot in the offensive line. And as bad as the defense was the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, when they were giving up like 200 rushing yards a game, they've gotten better. They look at the Texans right now, just lost to the Jets. They're beat up at wide receiver. They're thinking, hey, we got a path here in a very winnable division. Let's try to go out there and win some games. They'll worry about 2025 when 2025 rolls around. For now, Anthony Richardson's opportunities are going to be on the practice squad, and the Colts' hope has to be, much like Bryce Young, who, by the way, nobody's really discussed it, but played a lot better last week in Denver than he had played those first couple of games. Maybe taking this break, as much as he didn't want it, benefits him in the long run.
And then Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. Then you got the Cowboys, where Jerry Jones in his Tuesday spot, where he's been quite combative with a couple of local radio hosts, he this week took a much sunnier way of looking at it, saying we can have a storybook ending to the season. And then the next four games, you look at the story there, and it's quite the book, with at Atlanta, home for Philly, then the Monday nighter home against Houston at Washington. It would be very helpful to get Micah Parsons, Tank Lawrence, and Deron Bland back at any point over the next month. What's that possibility looking like, Tom?
Well, Deron Bland's been activated from injured reserve. He was getting close the last couple of weeks. We'll see whether or not that equates into him playing some role for them on Sunday, because they've definitely missed him. Trayvon Diggs is dealing with a calf injury, has not practiced this week. So another, you know, potential hit to that secondary. Jerry called it a tear. Tear is the same thing as a strain. How significant is it? You know, we don't have total clarity on that, but it doesn't sound like it's anything long-term for Trayvon Diggs. With Micah Parsons, they were hopeful that he was going to be back for this game, if not the last game, but that's an injury that's kind of lingered here for him, and DeMarcus Lawrence is still a little ways out as well. So they've got to find a way to put it together defensively in the short term. They have, it should be noted, played a lot better for whatever reason on the road than they have at home this year. So going into Atlanta, a team that's played pretty well and they've won games, but I don't think that, you know, the Falcons are blowing anybody away at this point in the season here. You look at the, you know, the rest of that schedule. Yeah, it's treacherous, but what jumps out at me is they still got two against Washington. They still got two against Philadelphia, the two primary opponents they've got in the NFC East. And that's what happened last year, Rich. You remember it was, oh, it's over. The Eagles have won the division, but they still had those remaining games. And what do you know? The Cowboys made their run at the end and ended up, you know, winning that division and getting into the playoffs, where clearly it did not go well in that game against the Packers here. To me, a lot of this boils down to, you know, something I always think about, which is your best players and your most expensive players have to play their best or you're not going to win. You're just not going to win a lot in the NFL. For the past several weeks here, and going back all the way to the season on offense, Micah Parsons has not been out there. And Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb have not played their best. You saw flashes of it last week where they, you know, they hooked up a couple of times for scores that seemed like progress on that. They still don't really have a great semblance of a run game, which is a big thing for Mike McCarthy for how he wants to be multiple on offense and be balanced and run play action. They've got to find that, but they're probably not making, I mean, you know, I could be wrong on this. Again, you rule out nothing going up to the trade deadline. I don't see them going out and making some high profile trade and giving a high pick for a running back here. They've got to find a way to generate it. And you're also hoping that the, what, five rookies that they've been starting this season are going to take steps forward here and play better the back half of the season than they did the first half.
All right. In the couple minutes I have left here, give everybody something to look for on Sunday, in the games on Sunday, that could affect the Tuesday trade deadline. What do you got for me?
Yeah.
On that,
it's a great question.
Thank
I think
you.
That there are some of those teams that are kind of teetering on the brink here. We've already seen the Jaguars make a couple of trades, Roy Robertson Harris going to Seattle, and then Cam Robinson to Minnesota. A loss for Jacksonville, I would think, would certainly point them toward going even harder into sell mode. The Cleveland Browns have been open for business here. You have, you know, maybe a little ray of hope. We've seen them make a second half run with a backup quarterback, third string quarterback, fifth string quarterback in Joe Flacco's case last year. But it sounds like other than Myles Garrett, there's not a whole lot of sacred cows on that roster. So what happens this week potentially could impact that as we move forward. Tennessee's already, you know, into sell mode. I think there's probably some other teams as well that are trying to figure out which direction do we go here. And on the flip side of it, you know, some of the teams that maybe think that they can put themselves over the top. Injuries are going to be the biggest thing, Rich. If you go down the list of the trades that have happened so far, the majority of them, aside from, you know, Devontae Adams, which was just a longstanding Jets thing, and then Amari Cooper to the Bills, which was just they never filled that need back in March. Almost all these other trades have been about need. So what happens in terms of potential injuries this week? That's going to drive a lot of it. I would also say, you know, the Lions fit in that category. They've not yet filled their need for another defensive end with Aiden Hutchinson out. It hasn't really mattered because Ben Johnson's offense is putting up like 50 points a game. You're probably going to add, they've been looking, they've been patient in that market. I would think that Brad Holmes gets something done before next week. Edge rusher, wide receiver, probably the two spots where there are the most names that are right now available, the most potential impact players. I would watch both those markets for multiple teams as we come up to the latest trade deadline we have ever had in the NFL.
Tom Pelissero giving inside information on what's going on in the trade deadline and also in his own world and own household and own shows. As Puka Nacua got hurt, put it up on the screen, Mike Hoskins. There it is. Very serious business
of
information.
So you can imagine if we find out 30 yes. seconds before air and there's no time to change, Rich,
yes.
that delivering the news of a, you know, torn patellar tendon might not augur well from the Kool-Aid man over there on the end. So, you know, I tried to class it up. I at least still wore the tie with the bear suit.
Yeah, exactly right. You are a classy man. I appreciate it. And say goodbye to these guys because they're all pissed.
Yeah, Tom, we're here too, buddy. I mean, we're not. We didn't take the day off. I don't have a chocolate hangover. Like, we're here,
guys. I'm sorry. I had the full size candy bars. All right, I'll mail some.
You get my text, Tom? You see what I sent you?
Mail one.
No, he's talking.
I saw a video. Yeah, you saw me look over at the screen, but I wasn't sure. You sent me a video.
You texted him during the conversation. Leave him alone. I'm talking to him.
Are you gonna swear here?
No,
no, you are. You're mouthing it though. We'll leave it there.
What a great, well-oiled machine we have here.
Say hello. Just say hello. That's all we want. We don't ask for much.
We're saying goodbye.
Hi, fellas.
Bye. Bye. Too late.
Bye.
Too late. Bye. All right, see you later, Tom. Tom Pelissero, everybody. A round of applause for Tom. Well done. I'm trying to talk with him. I'm trying to have him focus, and you're texting him videos. Like, what, is he supposed to stop talking to me to turn the sound up on his phone and watch your video?
No, I meant for after when he was done with
very
you.
Good. You know. All right, let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Here on the program, we'll talk Texans football, still to come, what's more likely, and more. Baker Mayfield as well. Let's talk LinkedIn people and small business owning. I'm a small business owner. Yeah. I might host the Rich Eisen Show, but I'd run it too. Rich Eisen Productions is a small business. And when you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's not just a job board, this LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why you got to use them. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service, they'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We call it start bench cuts. You can have to start somebody, bench somebody, and cut somebody. And we have a Game of Thrones theme to it.
Yes.
Okay. All right. What's the first one, Chris Brockman? What do you have for
Aaron? The first one is your favorite Game of Thrones character: Khaleesi, Jon Snow, Jorah Mormont.
Start bench cut.
You have to start bench one and cut.
I'm starting Khaleesi, Mother of Dragons, Breaker of Chains. I'm benching Jorah, and I'm cutting John.
Wow.
You can't have any rivalry. John, he's trying to, you know, he's trying to get in there.
Oh, my God.
We got to cut John.
Okay. Didn't see that coming.
Okay.
The nastiest MF-er on Game of Thrones.
You have to start one. You have to bench one and cut one.
Ramsay Bolton, Walder Frey, Joffrey.
If it's nastiest, I mean, you got to start Ramsay.
He's the worst.
I mean, he is the woke, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the worst of all time.
Worst of all time.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to bench Joffrey because he's close. The stuff that he did. I mean, Sansa's put up with all this crap from the men in her life. She needs to pick better men.
Exactly.
Right? And so I'm going to bench Walder Frey. He's up there, but his death was exciting.
So you cut him. He's out. Yeah. Okay. Well, which he actually was, in fact, cut.
Right. Are you?
Literally, from all that. Okay. And then we'll just do one more. Favorite movie, okay? The three choices are Shawshank Redemption, The Fugitive, You've Got Mail. Start, bench, cut.
I'm starting The Fugitive. I mean, Tommy Lee and Harrison Ford, fantastic.
The best,
movie.
Right?
I'm going to bench Shawshank. Phenomenal movie as well. And I'm cutting You've Got Mail.
I love You've Got Mail.
It's not even the best Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's modern times. So online and all that
Sleepless in
stuff.
Seattle?
That was like a phone call on a radio show.
You've got dial-up. You've got dial-up email.
Yeah,
come on now.
You guys are wrong.
Sunnier times with Aaron Rodgers and the Rich Eisen Show back in the day. So we started the show talking about the Jets winning Thursday Night Football, saving their season for the moment, keeping things alive. They're still alive.
Still alive.
Meanwhile, the Houston Texans are 6-3, still in first place in the South Division of the American Football Conference. The Colts are starting a much more efficient and successful, one would think, not just in the past, but giving the chance for more success now and in the foreseeable future with Joe Flacco. Texans do have the season sweep of the Colts in their back pocket. That's helpful. To continue the other positive for the Texans, because we have sunny dispositions around here, right? We're glass half full. Let's talk positive for the Texans. Joe Mixon.
He's good.
Listen, I know the Bengals thought we're going to have to pay our quarterback. We paid our quarterback. We're going to have to pay our receiver, which they didn't do. And they let Joe Mixon walk. Listen.
They'd want that back.
You think? Joe Mixon with 24 carries, 106 yards, and a rushing touchdown. He's had one or more rushing touchdowns in four straight games in five of the six games he's played in 2024. As we all know, he got hip drop tackled early in the season and missed a couple games. How about this stat? Most games with 100 or more rushing yards and one or more rushing touchdowns in the first six games of a season in the history of the NFL. He's got five. The other three who have gotten five. DeMarco Murray. Remember that when he was on fire for the Dallas Cowboys that one year?
Mm-hmm.
Emmitt Smith, he did it in 95. O.J. Simpson did it in 75.
Okay.
And only one guy did it in all six games. His name is Jim Brown. Did it in 1958.
Heard of him.
That's the list that Joe Mixon has joined. So the run game is pretty darn good. Another thing to look forward to is Nico Collins looks like he's coming back next week. Boy, do they need him. And Tank Dell had 126 receiving yards last night. Other than that, that's how was the play? You know what I mean? The Texans have a problem protecting C.J. Stroud, people. This is not a mirage. You want to beat the Texans, send pressure at C.J. Stroud and get in his face because he's not throwing it and he's not finding it and the people aren't getting open and he doesn't even have time to even go through a progression. Eight sacks last night, 191 passing yards, no touchdowns. He lost a fumble. The Packers in the other by the way, they've lost three games, all of them on the road. The other loss, three sacks against the Packers. Stroud had 86 yards passing. And then their first loss of the season, which was just an absolute washout in Minnesota. He was sacked four times. He did have 215 yards passing and a touchdown, but two interceptions in that game. They can't protect him. Will Nico Collins help? Sure he will, but not if Stroud is horizontal before he can find Collins vertically. Career low, 36.7 complete percentage last night, sacked a career. I mean, honestly, he looked like David Carr.
Hmm.
I'm not being facetious.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
This is what the head coach had to say about it.
I'm not sure what's happening up front. We'll watch the film and see what it is. But obviously, we give up eight sacks, and you know every drop back or pass situation looks like you know we're in scramble mode. So it's just not good enough. And we can't operate on time, and we got to get that fixed.
Yeah, no doubt. Got to get that fixed because you're not winning the AFC with that. Nuh-uh. And any more of those. And you could forget the one seed. I know a lot of Texans fans and a lot of us in the media were saying this is a team that can beat the Chiefs this year, and you even put them in the Super Bowl. And I didn't bat an eyelash when you did that, Chris.
Yeah.
They're not making the Super Bowl if they can't protect the quarterback like this.
Yeah, no chance.
If they're taking on a team that is ripe for the picking and has lost five in a row, you could say the Jets were due. They were due last week in New England, too, and didn't do it. You could kiss the one seed goodbye. What you think the Chiefs are going to lose three times the rest of the way? Maybe. Okay, sure. And I'll take it back. I'll say I had my finger on the chess piece. I know some Steelers fans. I heard from you when I said in my top my power rankings that I had the Texans above the Steelers because I thought if they played each other, the Steelers would lose. The Texans would beat the Steelers. Certainly not if you're playing in Pittsburgh. C.J. Stroud is 5-8 on the road in his career, including playoffs. 11-2 at home. Different guy on the road, and they're having trouble protecting him. I would imagine against that Steelers defense, they would not. So I'm taking my finger off the chess piece after seeing that last night, and saying if I did my power rankings now, I'd be flipping that. That is for sure, and it will next week when I do it in Munich. When we arrive there next Thursday. So, yes, positives, there are. You're still 6-3. You still have control of your division significantly. But you have problems protecting your quarterback in this league. You're not winning. And certainly, if to correct the head coach. It doesn't look like you're in scramble mode. You are in scramble mode when you're fading back to pass. And they don't move him out of the pocket a lot or enough. I mean, last night they wound up kicking a field goal to try an onside kick rather than off a touchdown. And they kept him in the pocket. It's just like, I understand you're cutting off half the field if you move him one direction, but he's a sitting duck right now. Sitting duck. So I'm concerned for the Texans, and this is what Stroud had to say after the game. He said he felt embarrassed.
Of course, you know, it's embarrassing. And, you know, to come out here on a primetime game and, you know, get embarrassed like that is never fun. And, you know, I believe, you know, we have to be better in a lot of areas. You know, and that starts with me. You know, I think there's plays I got to make, throws I got to make, you know, times I got to sit in the pocket and just trust my guys. You know, so I really point the finger at me and realize, you know, I got to be better as a football player. And, you know, if we want to win, this is not the recipe for it. We got to learn how to dominate and stop learning how to, you know, just go with the flow. And so, you know, it's not time to hang our head down, feel sorry for ourselves. It's time to answer the call. And, you know, we got guys in that locker room that I believe in, I trust in. And, you know, I think, you know, we're going to be able to be a really good football team. And just, you know, it doesn't define us, but it definitely, you know, is a great wake-up call.
Pro quarterback answer right there, taking some responsibility, saying he's got to trust his guys. I assume he means the line in front of him. The trust the guys, stay in the pocket. Some of his throws are high again to receivers he would be able to hit in his sleep. I mean, he's on a night like last night, he's got to be like, okay, I don't have much time. It's tough to trust. And, of course, obviously, he's down two big-time receivers. Doesn't help. Short week doesn't help. There are some positives. That helps. And the issue is, if you have trouble protecting and you got the Lions next and then the Cowboys after that with maybe Micah back, you better learn how to protect.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.